Well, what are we waiting for? Sometimes we can excitedly wait for something special, and we wait, and we wait, with great anticipation and even excitement. But when it happens, it doesn't quite go how we thought it would, or it doesn't happen how we were expecting. It can be very disappointing. Zephaniah's prophecy, which we heard read in verse 15 of chapter 3, stated that God would come to live among you. This was written some 600 years before Christ was born, so they'd been waiting a long time for the Messiah to come. There would have been great expectation, yet for some, Jesus was a disappointment. He was not the leader who would rid them of the tyranny of Roman oppression that some had longed for. Well, as I said earlier, we're now in the third week of Advent, which consists of the 4 weeks in the season immediately preceding Christmas. It is a season of waiting and expectation. The word Advent means coming, and in Advent, the most obvious object of our waiting is the Christ child, the babe in a manger, born in a stable in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. But that's not all there is to Advent waiting. It's also about the fulfillment of God's promises. Advent operates in three ways. In Advent, we await the birth of the Christ child as the recollection of a past event. We await that special day so that we can celebrate once again the birth that happened over 2,000 years ago. Yet this past event also has great significance in the present. Most memorable past events have an effect on and a meaning in the present, such as a wedding anniversary or even the end of a war. Christ's birth is no different. This event also has great significance in the present. In Advent, we remember not only the birth of the Christ child 2,000 years ago, but we remember the birth of a Saviour in our lives, into our families, into our church community, this Christmas in 2024. And in Advent, we await the unveiling of the reign of God. We now await the return of Christ. In this sense, Advent joins together our present and future expectations about the reign of God. Advent helps us to be prepared, to keep our ears, our eyes, and hearts for the inner working of the Holy Spirit, the saving presence and power of God. We are called not just at this time of year, but at any time, to be aware of the fact that our world is in need of God's recreation, and to be aware of the ways in which God's power is being made visible in our world now and in the future. Waiting for Jesus is not about waiting for Jesus to come and rescue us. In the reading from Luke's Gospel, John reminded the people who followed him that they had made a pretty big mess of things, but he spoke of both the necessity and the possibility of repentance and of leading a new life with God's help. Some people went to John to be baptized so they could escape eternal punishment, but they were not really repenting from sin, nor were they willing to change the way they lived. According to Luke, John had harsh words for such people. He called them a brood of vipers. He said that being Abraham's descendants was not enough to ensure salvation. The religious leaders relied more on family ties than on faith. For them, religion was inherited. But a relationship with God cannot be handed down. You cannot rely on someone else's faith for your salvation. What is also important here is his ministry of preparing the way. John preached a baptism of repentance. Baptism was around long before the Christian church adopted it as a way of showing commitment to Christ and initiating the faithful. John's baptism showed that people were prepared to lead a new life and to open themselves to the teachings of the one who is to come. Jesus was born, and we hardly know anything about his life as a child. But we do know that he began his ministry at around 30 years of age, and 3 years later he was executed. But just as he promised, he sent the Holy Spirit, God's power helping to form the early church. It seems quite clear from the biblical text itself that the early church expected Jesus to return soon to take over the earth and to institute the full and complete reign of God on earth. They saw it as a future event, and they expected it within the lifetime of those who knew the person Jesus. When it didn't happen, the church had to realise that they would have to make do with the Holy Spirit for a bit longer. Well, actually, a lot longer. Now, over 2,000 years longer. Then, every so often, there were predictions that the end of the earth will happen on such and such a day, that Jesus is going to return, and they give a specific day and a time. Oh dear. We still hear them today, don't we? But we're still here. Such predictions have often become objects of derision and ridicule, yet they persist. Over the past several decades, events have fueled speculation that the end is near. Yet a study of history will show that at such times have come and gone and come again. It seems clear that this kind of speculation is at best a waste of time and at worst a distortion of the biblical message. The consensus is that having looked at the statements in the Bible concerning God's reign, the biblical view is that the reign of God is both an already and a not yet kind of reality. To focus Christian hope solely on some kind of cataclysmic divine intervention is to miss the tremendous opportunities we have in the here and now to experience the grace and presence of God as we seek to live out the teachings of Jesus. To focus on the so-called second coming as the only antidote to human sin is to deny human responsibility and the capacity of human beings, by the grace of God, to be a force of life and goodness. As we seek to live out his teachings and the prophets in whose tradition he taught, we will always be in need of new insights and new experiences of grace. Why would we want to have Jesus come and rescue us? Is it because we've made such a mess of things that we feel we can't get out of the chaos created by sin? The Bible does not talk about faith as escapism, but about giving us what we need to fully engage the world in its evil aspects as well as its grace-filled ones, and to engage with it with a heart and mind of Christ. Zephaniah pointed out that God would remove his hand of judgment and that gladness results when we allow God to be with us. We do that by faithfully following him and obeying his commands. If you want to be happy, draw close to the source of happiness by obeying God. Advent, though, is also about surprise. At the beginning, I suggested that sometimes you may be disappointed when something doesn't quite meet your expectation. Maybe your expectations were too high. Or maybe you misunderstood what to expect, a bit like our holy night. Those who were disappointed with Jesus misunderstood why he had come. The freedom he offered was a different kind of freedom and not what they expected. They didn't get it that it was just as life-changing. Have you ever tried to explain something to somebody who just doesn't get it? And you land up frustratingly saying, "No, you're missing the point." Sometimes we are surprised by what happens when it surpasses our expectation. The author of the Narnia books, C.S. Lewis, described his own Christian experience in a book he entitled Surprised by Joy. Advent is about the unexpected ways in which God comes to us. It is about the joy-filled anticipation of change. It is about working out change despite all the odds and all of the opposition, because ultimately it is worth it. And ultimately it is going to make a difference. The book of Isaiah speaks of a radical change in the way that nations relate to one another, a radical change in the way that people relate to one another. But he also spoke of the unusual leadership of children in the healing of God's creation. This leads me to think, this leading of children, of the movie Home Alone. Home Alone is many things, most of them hilarious and frivolous, and it happens to be my Sarah's favourite, one of her favourite Christmas movies. But on one level, it's about the leadership and intelligence of children. It depicts the ways in which a mere child is able to foil and capture a pair of burglars and con artists who had battled the police for weeks. It surprises us, as Advent is about surprise. Advent is about turning things on their heads. Advent is about change. What kind of change are we talking about? Well, just as a new baby changes almost everything about a family, everything about how they live and how they relate to one another, so the advent of this God with us changes us, or at least it should change us. With all that's been on the news lately, we do not need much imagination to see the graphic and gruesome results of war. What we need our Advent imagination for is to see a world without all of that. What we need Isaiah's prophetic imagination for is to be able to see this kind of world and then to be able to move toward it, to live toward it, indeed to be able to live it into being. We are called to be a people of faith, and we are called to live out that faith in all that we see, say, and do. Therefore, Advent is much, much more than a blind, head-in-the-sand kind of optimism. It's also about more than waiting for God to do it all for us. It is working for change, knowing full well that this change might not come for more than our own generation. It is about having children in the midst of a war zone. It is singing joy to the world amidst despair and sadness. It is doing these things not in an attempt to shut out or to ignore the pain of the world, but to transform it by the power of God working through us. The call to worship from Philippians gave us the perfect advice on how to achieve this. Rejoice in the Lord at all times and in everything. We sang, rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you. It is about fixing a vision of God's realm in our minds and then living toward it. It is acting as if there will be a glorious future and then working to ensure that it is as good as possible. Writer Alice Walker said, unless you live as if the world you imagine already exists, the world you imagine will never exist. Christ is born, and Christ brings joy to the world. A saviour is born. What are we waiting for? Well, faith is not just idealistic nonsense, unless, of course, we don't really believe it. But if we do believe, and if the Spirit is with us, then all of the powers of this world cannot ultimately stand in our way. And the world will know that we are being led by this child of Bethlehem, this bringer of true joy, and this bringer of salvation. And we know that he is coming back to reign in glory. Now that's worth waiting for. Amen.